This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. At 877-881-1053, do you have any holiday travel nightmares? And do you think they're worse than the one that I just endured? Okay, we'll get to that here in just a second at 877-881-1053. If you want to leave your name and city you're texting from, we'll make you famous here in the G-Bag Nation. So, the Sunday after my last show, forget who the Cowboys are playing that day at this point, but it doesn't matter, okay?
Is this Minnesota?
Schedule was we're flying out at like 6 o'clock in the morning. We wake up at like 3:30, and it's like, well, you're not going to get out of here till 9, so just go back to bed. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We're good with that. But as a result of that, Brian, we missed our connecting flight in Portland going to Central Oregon, which left by the time we arrived in PDX. And at that point, we're like, okay, cool, no problem. Just reschedule, get on a different flight going to Central Oregon. The problem at that point was that all the planes that were flying from Portland to Central Oregon that day were already either booked or had already gone. And our only option was to wait 12 hours, fly to Seattle, then get into Redmond. So at that point, what do? It's a slam dunk, isn't it? You'll get a rental car. I was pleasantly surprised. Getting a rental car for one day and driving it for about 4 hours only set me back $70. That's probably not bad.
No,
that's a steal.
Decent deal, right?
That's a good save.
So we're cruising over the mountain, and we say, well, you know, before we get too far, let's call the airlines to make sure our bags are going to make it to our destination. And they said, yeah, they're going to be on a plane tomorrow, 11:30. No problem at all. You know, you just go pick them up. So next day, after driving 4 hours to the destination and feeling totally whooped, you know, I think we got in there at 6 o'clock or something. So like 14 hours of travel or considering travel, preparing to travel. And we got there. So we're like, cool, we'll just get the bags in the morning. Everything's going to work out just fine. But because we did not reschedule our flight,
got canceled.
Yes, the tag got deleted out of their system.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, well, you're not going any farther. No need. Even though our final destination was Redmond, Oregon, they decided just to hold them there in Portland. So they're coming through the carousel. I don't know why they didn't tell us that the night before.
Right. That's the biggest nightmare, is people not being on the same page. And you talking to somebody being like, yeah, your bags are going to be there, no problem. Meanwhile, protocol is the exact opposite.
Thank you. This is something that the customer service people should have known.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh.
Be better.
You didn't fly into Redmond. Your bags are going to stay in Portland. Okay, cool.
Or where Section 123 was.
Yeah. We'll go get them.
What are we doing?
Yeah. So the next day we're standing there like complete dumbasses along with three or four other families waiting for our bags that we were told would be there, and they did not show up. So we file a claim. They give us like $100 for our troubles. And about an hour later, they email us and say, all right, here's the deal. We can send you your bags to Central Oregon at some point in the next 5 to 10 days. But Christmas is 2 days away. And all the kids' presents are in the luggage sitting in Portland International Airport. So me and the wife are sitting there, and I'm like, I really don't want to drive back over there. It is, by the way, in the middle of winter across a mountain pass, right? So you go up to about 4,000 or 5,000 feet where it's about 32 degrees. There's snow on the ground. There's wet pavement. There's black ice, the whole deal. But we decide we got to do it. So we drive all the way over there. We come all the way back 8 or 9 hours worth to add to our already 14 hours. So we've basically been on vacation for about 72 hours, and 48 of those have been either sleeping or trying to remedy this situation. But we get back home safely, and we're like, okay, this is great. All right. So we, at that point, you know, we're about to enter day three of vacation and experience our first couple of hours of rest and relaxation. So, you know, 5-6 days later, whatever, we're getting ready to leave. We wake up, we fly to Seattle, and we drop into the most ungodly thick fog. It was incredible how good the plane's technology is.
Oh, yeah.
They could actually land us with zero visibility.
Yeah.
And it's pretty incredible. I ended up watching a couple of YouTube videos about it, reading more about like how good the technology is. And in the receiving airport, they send this laser into the sky off of the landing strip.
Mm.
And you have to fly your plane and line up with this laser. But once the laser's got you, it's literally like Star Trek, and a laser guide you right onto the ground.
You're locked in, yeah.
So it was terrifying. I think I actually had my earbuds in, and I let out a four-letter bomb right as we were landing because it was so jarring. So yeah. I want to apologize to the family members that were in that area. But I think a lot of people had the same reaction. They just didn't vocalize it in the way that I did. And I meant to say it under my breath. It was just a little too loud. So people were kind of looking at me funny as I got off that plane.
Well, it's crazy because like my brother's a pilot. And so every like 6 to 9 months, he has to go back for like a training thing. Like if you're going to be a captain, you have to like spend weeks at a time basically testing to make sure that you still got your wits about you. And every single day you're in the simulator and it's never a normal day. Every day it's just, here's problems.
Yeah.
Here's problems. For 6 weeks,
bird
these pilots.
Strike.
Yeah. It's just like whatever the problem of the day is and you got to figure it out. Yeah. So these pilots are dialed.
Yes. That was very comforting actually to read all about. They've been through all of these scenarios. There's two or three dudes up there, maybe a lady up there, a lady pilot or whatever, but they're all like double checking the technology simultaneously and making sure nobody makes a mistake. So it was actually a good experience, like for my peace of mind. I don't think I'd be that terrified to fly, but I thought we were still up in the clouds. I thought we were still
right,
up in the clouds.
How it looks.
And then all of a sudden you hit the ground and it's just like, holy crap, what is this? I guess the people that fly into Seattle regularly might be a little bit more used to that because every time I've flown through there, there's been some level of fog. But that particular morning, it was so thick, actually, they kind of suspended a lot of flights as we were waiting up there for 5 hours. We were supposed to have a 90-minute connection. We ultimately get on that plane and had no further problems. But the only cool thing about it, when we got back to DFW and we get our Uber ride back to the house, this dude pulls up in this Kia minivan of some kind, and he jumps out in like a full Lakers Luka Doncic uniform. And guy is actually from Serbia. He turns out to be like the coolest dude. He talked exactly like Luka, explained his whole journey. I said, you know, usually I would not appreciate somebody driving me around in a full Lakers uniform, but I make exceptions for Luka super fans, and he definitely had a right to it.
That's outstanding, dude. Wow. I can't even fathom. Like, that's one of those trips where you kind of reconsider ever traveling again.
Yes. Yes.
And certainly for the holidays and doing the connections. Like, is it worth? I'm sure you save plenty by doing connections, but you're just going, is this even worth it? Because the giant pain in the ass that this is likely going to be, that would probably halt me forever. Like, okay, glad we did this once. Never again.
940 says, I was on a fishing trip on a remote lake in central Canada, got snowed in by a blizzard, had to hunker down in a cabin for 4 days, no electric, chopping our own firewood to stay warm, very little food. It sucked. I think that's more of a survival situation than a...
You ever watch that survival videos? You ever see that guy that he retired?
Bear Grylls?
Not Bear Grylls, but there's a...
Oh, the other guy that did all the film work himself.
Yeah, the guy that's very...
I think Lucius turned me onto that guy.
The glasses, and he's a...
But he's like one of those popular dudes on YouTube, and then he stopped doing it, right?
He just quit. He'd had enough.
I don't blame him.
There was one time where he goes, I don't think I'm going to survive. How cold he got, but he's amazing. Goes, I never would have thought about build a fire and then sleep on, move the fire out of the way and sleep on the ground that's warm. I would have never thought of that.
You learned a lot of good stuff from that guy.
Oh, this guy, he had more survival tips of building shelters and stuff, but he retired. He said, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore.
That Bear Grylls guy ended up being kind of a phony, didn't he? Like, he was faking like he was out there, but he was taking a chopper back to civilization in between.
Yeah. Well, there was one time that he was trying to cross a river, and he'd made this floating device to try and make it.
Yeah.
And the current was so bad, it was pulling him down. They had to rescue him.
Really?
He said, I can't. I'm going to die if I try this. And So he quit. He didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. That. I mean, he put himself in a lot of dangerous situations. He was definitely all man and pretty badass, and he was special forces
just
and all
that.
Just
jump out of a helicopter, no problem. Yeah. Jump out of a plane, no problem, man.
409, wife and I spent the day after Christmas until New Year's Eve in downtown Seattle. The fog ruined the fireworks show from the Space Needle. I can imagine. That was like the thickest fog I had ever seen. All right, at 877-881-1053. Doesn't look like too many other people have travel nightmares. They were probably smart enough to not travel during the holidays or have connecting flights.
Heady play right there.
Yeah, I was in that wedding. And I was my nephew Jack Brissett got married, and I was telling you we were about to land. We were going down into the field, and just about to land, and a lightning strike hit the airport, and we had to pull up.
My goodness!
And we had to circle for like an hour, and then they flew us to Myrtle Beach. We had to refuel and come back. We literally, I could see the ground, and then the lightning strike, and then we pulled it out of the off the field. We didn't even land the thing.
I had one in Las Vegas that day. It wasn't lightning, but it was high winds. Yeah. Like right as we're getting to 100 feet in, the wind's just going crazy, and the dude just hit the gas and got out of there.
Vegas and Phoenix are two of the worst places you could fly into.
Yeah,
when it comes to dealing with the Phoenix is, remember how we fly there in the heat? Like sometimes the heat with it rising off the, off the ground, and it bounces the plane all over the place.
Oh yeah, we were getting close, and the plane did like a little side dilly whoop to whoop, and he was probably worried about a wing strike or
wing
something
strike
like that.
Wing strike, for sure, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what it is about, the holidays for me, but I can't imagine doing Christmas anywhere but in my parents' living room, so I'm going to keep on doing that. But the direct flights are like $200 or $300 more. And then when you have a family of four, that's $1,200.
Right.
So I'm thinking, would I do it all over again to save $1,200? And I think my answer would probably be yes. And it's definitely something to avoid if you can. Okay. Let's jump into a little bit of Cowboys news here before we get to Chiafalo's Friday news dump. Stephon Gilmore tweeting, I guess this was 2 or 3 days ago, but it's still kind of going viral. He said if the Cowboys hire Brian Flores, they will instantly become playoff contenders next year.
He played for him. Yeah.
In New England, probably?
No, I think he played at Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about how bad of a job Eberflus did and how much of an impact Flores could have with the same personnel? I mean, he's going to play a lot more man, be a lot more aggressive.
He plays with a lot more veteran players, though, too.
Yeah.
That's really big because he's going to rely on he's going to rely on your assignment. I've never seen a defense that plays as coordinated as his defense does. And so you can't have guys that are jumping gaps or jumping around blocks or lining up wrong and all that. I mean, he's going to test your personnel in a way, because if he doesn't, his defense isn't going to work unless it's a coordinated defense, unless you have the players to do it. And that's what you have to evaluate. That's what Stephen Jones is talking about. How comfortable are you? My hope is when they make this change that this is not going to be come in, have a steak dinner, a slumber party the next day. We have a coach that's hired. I'd really like to see them be able to talk to. And I'd like to see if I was the Troy Aikman guy that got to sit in on this meeting, man, I'd have so many questions about. I would test that guy as how well do you know our team? How well do you know our defensive personnel? Because if you don't know our personnel and you don't, and we're trying to like, all of a sudden we're having to try to marry our players to your system and there's not fits, you might as well not do this. You need to have somebody that understands, like, okay, I know your team, and this is how I know your team, and this is I know what we can do. And you need to have somebody there. You need to, like, Will or somebody needs to study everybody that they're going to interview and have an idea if this guy's coming in and BSing you about that.
I would love to believe that just the perfect coach, and Flores might be the perfect defensive coach, could make this team a playoff contender next year. Well, I just can't believe that about this person.
I think that you got some coaches out there. I think Jim Schwartz could do a really good job. I think the guy down in Tampa,
Bowles.
I think Bowles could do a good job.
You think he might get let go?
I think there's a possibility if they lose this game. I think there's a possibility that they that could very well happen.
It's tough because they just extended his contract through like 2028 or something.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I don't know how like,
I don't
what their
know,
stomach
man.
Is
that
for
was
eating
a
contract like that.
That was,
but,
that was a big collapse, though, for them.
Oh, no doubt. Like, yeah. It's definitely on
and
the table.
And they've had some struggles, you know, they've had some struggles with what's going on there. You know, what's going to be happening in Atlanta? There's a couple of coordinators there. You know, Jeff Ulbrich and all that. You
I mean,
know.
Just Raheem Morris himself.
Raheem Morris, yeah.
As a DC.
Yeah, they've got some, there's going to be some coordinators available that you want to talk to.
Jim Schwartz?
That's the Jim Schwartz one is the one I would look at very, very strongly.
Because we were talking about this the other day, and I think, you know, Fred Davis was kind of the first one to lend voice to it, and we totally agree. Like, the idea of bringing in a coordinator that could actually be here for a while and
that's
not be a guy
yeah.
that is a head coach commodity as well.
Yeah.
You bring in a stud young defensive coordinator or something, he turns your defense around, and in 2 years, somebody's poaching him off to be a head coach. If you go get a Jim Schwartz or a Bowles or somebody like that who's already been the head coach and failed before, then you could end up with a Steve Spagnuolo, Dick Fangio type where they're great as defensive coordinators. Nobody's really kicking the tires on them for head coach, and now you've got a half decade plus of continuity.
I'd still talk to Matt Patricia at Ohio State. I'd still do that one. I would see what happens with Jonathan Gannon out there in Arizona. That might be another one you need to look at. That's a Super Bowl winning guy with I believe with the Philadelphia, if I'm not right. Jim Schwartz won it with Philadelphia, but Gannon
was there too when they won.
Yeah, exactly. So
or maybe they lost. I think he was the DC when
they lost
to Kansas City.
That's right. But he's got him through some championships, some championships.
Okay. How about are the Cowboys making a mistake, and how big of a mistake are they by putting the guys on the field in New York? I tell you what, if I was Shoddy, I would be nervous that if it's my idea that we have to win this game so I can be 8-8-1 in my first year, if something does happen, if a significant injury happens, if I'm anywhere in that front office and I'm saying right now, shut everybody down, we don't want to ruin 2026 trying to get a meaningless win so people can feel better about themselves for 48 hours, this could be the kind of development that I think would be maybe the first significant check in the is Shoddy the right guy box. Up to this point, I love everything, but the lack of big picture vision here is weird and concerning. Like, how are you not putting the best interest? If the Joneses want to play, and if I'm Shoddy, it is your job to convince the Joneses that that idea is idiotic. Like, this is meaningless. It's pointless. I'm not that worried about the draft because I feel like somewhere between 13 and 17 or 18, wherever you are, you're going to have a situation where you'll be able to draft a good player. I'm just worried about the injuries.
Well, are you in a situation where you can protect Dak Prescott? You know, and now you don't have your running game really intact.
Giants have a good pass rush.
Yeah, and how much are the Giants going to play, too? You know, they've already done their assignment where they messed up the first overall pick, you know, by getting the game last week and winning the game. So, yeah, they're going to try and I think the Giants are going to try and win, and you have to be very, very careful about how you play this game. My gut feeling is that Dak and the starters are going to start, and then we'll see how the game goes. I mean, we could look up in the second series and Joe Milton's playing quarterback.
Yeah.
You know? Or it could be a couple of drives. Maybe Dak gets the team up, you know, 10-0, and then they yank everybody and start, you know. But I would be worried to play those rookie running backs, you know, in blitz protection situations if that was me with Dak in there.
I mean, there's been the calf, which was on a jump throw. There was the shoulder at training camp and the hamstring, like trying to get those extra yards last year. It doesn't have to be a big nasty hit with Dak Prescott, I think is the point I'm making. Some guys have this ability. They're just the way they're constructed. But once you have that lower leg injury, I do believe strongly it throws the foundation and how all the muscles and joints support each other a little bit off kilter. And I would say this year has been a tremendous smashing success for Dak Prescott, and there's nothing that can happen on Sunday that can move that one way or another. Pro Football Focus did New Year's resolutions for each team. The Cowboys that they had was rebuild the defense on every level. I think that's going to be the theme going into March. Like, how serious are the Cowboys about making this happen? Because if they want to be serious about getting in contention next year, they need to do such a thorough job in free agency that the draft is extra on top of it.
I totally agree with this.
I think
give me the flexibility. That's what I want.
We'll know all about September through December by the time we get to about March 15th.
I'm with you. I'm with you. You have way too many holes right now to just assume that that a draft can fix it for you. And it's not even like you have all your picks in this draft.
No,
like you have the two first round picks, which is nice, but a lot of those middle round picks you've already allocated elsewhere. So yes, like this has to be. You have to look at this if you're the Joneses. Like, dude, we have Dak right now playing the best football of his career. Shoddy's finally a coach that has the offense playing at a much higher than competent level. And if you really want to capitalize on this Dak window, now's the time, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and you're running out of time. You can't just sit around and wait if you actually want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they haven't really proven that they want to do that over the last really 30 years.
I mean, you do have Pickens and Lamb in their prime and Dak Prescott playing like a top five quarterback. And those are a couple of blessings that there's no way we could have anticipated at this point. Last year, if you wanted to say, let's get through year one of Shoddy and evaluate from that point without really blowing in too hard to 2025, let's see how things settle and address our needs going into 2026. That would make sense for team building. But if I'm the Cowboys right now, I'm thinking we don't know how many more great years of Dak we're going to have. And we need to make sure that we take advantage of this because after that, it could be a while before you have a quarterback playing even close to what Dak Prescott's giving you right now. All righty. Out players, Bass, Davis, Overshown, Revel, Williams. I wanted to ask you, Brian, are all of these outs that we would have throughout any point of the season? Is it just coincidence they're happening now, or do you think they're dialing these guys back with the injury?
Yeah, concern? I haven't circled with anybody about that. So, but that's... I know you got a couple of concussions in there, and you've got a knee, I think, of a couple of things that you're dealing with. So, to be honest with you, I haven't checked with anybody if these would be outs on outs. But, this time of year, though, if you've got guys that are – you probably got some guys that are maybe if a week away, maybe next week they could. But with it being the end of the season, maybe it'll give them the opportunity to look at some other guys. But I haven't asked anybody if these were outs were because of the game.
Last football Friday of the year. We got another half hour to go with you. Fred and Blake coming up here at 7 o'clock. Chief, what is next?
We've got your 2025 year in review. Lane Kiffin allegedly doing some sabotaging, plus some portal updates for you next year in the Nate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Fan After Dark in the bullpen throwing heat. Fred and Blake coming up 7 to 11. Chief, what you got for this Friday news dump?
Yeah, man, we start in college football. Did you see Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports? See what your guy Lane's up to?
Yeah, we're poaching coaches, aren't we?
Yeah, so you have...
He was South Carolina coach.
Oh, well, yeah, that happened, and I guess Beamer was not too pleased about
Beamer,
it because he was caught off guard. I mean, I don't know how much that really matters.
Yeah, Beamer was basically saying, like, he talked to the coach, and then Kiffin didn't call and ask if, hey, I'd like permission to talk to your guy, and then Beamer got a little upset by that.
Well, this one is where you have six Ole Miss assistants who are actually LSU assistants now, but
they're working on the portal. That's why they stayed behind.
Okay.
They're working today is the, as you've mentioned throughout the show, this is the first day that you can actually do stuff in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
So those six coaches are helping with basically with portal duty in the offices in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that. I mean, the way Dellinger puts it is it remains unclear if six Ole Miss assistants who've signed with LSU will coach the Rebels in the semifinals next week versus Miami.
I believe they will.
Okay.
But today was the first day of the portal stuff, and that's why I would venture to say those coaches from Mississippi or helping the Mississippi program, I would say they would be back this you know, this weekend sometime.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all it is, if it's like a 48-hour, hey, let's handle the portal stuff for a little while and then get back and start prepping and being able to coach for Miami.
Well, they got until Thursday, right?
Week from last night is the game.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, because he's reporting that there's a chance that
if they don't coach, I think that would be a terrible thing for those Mississippi kids. Yeah. I honestly do.
Yeah,
that would be not cool.
This whole time it was talked about as, hey, for as long as Ole Miss is alive in the postseason, these coaches that are going to end up at LSU will be allowed to fulfill their duties with Ole Miss. I'm sure that nobody thought, you know, they probably didn't think they would even make it this far, but they have. And so, like, that would be a total nightmare if in the semifinal you're not going to be able to have the. I mean, one of them is your play caller offensively.
Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yeah. Like, if Lane Kiffin's going to be like, you're staying at LSU now and you can't call the play. Like, this isn't just some random position coach either. This is your freaking play caller.
I think three of the six coaches, though, have administrative duties. It's like a general manager, I think, is involved that they brought over. So, yeah, I don't think all of them are all six of them are coaches. I think there's like three of them that are coaches.
Now, all signs point to the best quarterback in the portal, Sorsby. It looks like he's going to end up at Texas Tech. I mean, it's Tech and LSU. $5+ million is what he's going to end up getting.
Yeah.
You have guys that for Texas Tech that are talking about how they're returning to Tech, like guys that could have, I guess, declared for the draft that have announced, like, hey, I'm coming back. And Sorsby.
Anybody we've looked at?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But Sorsby, not like David Baylor or something like that. Yeah. But Sorsby's like leaving comments on their posts announcing that they're returning to Tech with like fire emojis and stuff like that. Yeah. His girlfriend's playing volleyball there or whatever. So I think he's going to end up with Texas Tech there. Sam Levitt, the other big name quarterback in the portal from Arizona State. Pete Nakos of On3 Sports. He says that it's basically Miami, Oregon, and LSU are like the three teams that are in on him. And so if LSU loses out on Sorsby, the interesting thing is Oregon, because you have Pete Thamel, who's talking about Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback, and he could obviously declare for the draft and probably be the second quarterback taken. It looks like Mendoza is probably going to be the top quarterback. But Dante Moore is right there as a guy who's probably going to be the second quarterback off the board in the draft. But Pete Thamel's like, hey, not so fast. There's a feeling around Oregon that that he might actually stay at Oregon. So Dante Moore maybe not declaring for the draft. So Oregon wouldn't need Sam Levitt. So then if Sorsby goes to Tech, then it pretty much comes down to Miami and LSU for Levitt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have Mestemaker out there. I would imagine he goes to Oklahoma State and buddies up once again with Eric Morris there. But that's kind of the update with the quarterbacks.
The money's just better in college unless you're going to be like a top 10 pick. Like if you're getting $5 million a year, there's no reason to leave unless I get a guarantee from one of these teams in the top 10. That, yes, we are going to take you. You're going to make more money than you would in college. But, I mean, Sorsby getting five, it's where is that? You have to be a first-round pick. You can't be a second-round pick and match that kind of money. So, I mean, the rubber is really starting to hit the road. I think for more, he has bigger upside than Mendoza. So maybe for a young rebuilding team, I would take more. That would be the only situation. But Mendoza's like height, his accuracy, his decision-making, the quickness that he makes those decisions with, I think he's the kind of player that if the Raiders nail the rest of their draft in free agency, he could lead you back to the playoffs next year.
Yeah. He's, I mean, that's the thing about Oregon. Like you have a guy like Mendoza who's played like 4 or 5 years in college football. Like this is a guy who actually has the requisite reps under his belt, and their whole roster is really that way. When you talk about Indiana being like one of those teams right now and being the team in the playoff, they got a bunch of this guy's played 4 years in college football, this guy's played 3 or 4 or 5 years in college football. You got a veteran team, and Mendoza is a great example of that.
Their offensive line, I believe, has two transfers on it, and but they don't have a lot of they have guys that were juniors that were redshirted. So that's kind of how they've done things with their offensive line. It's not like we've like Texas A&M and others have got, you know, there's some teams that are really senior-led offensive lines. But Indiana's kind of done it the way where they have, you know, most of their guys are juniors, a couple of them are transfers, but they're redshirt juniors. So they've been in the program for a little bit.
Forgot to mention the quotes from some of the Ole Miss players about Lane Kiffin.
I don't blame those kids for being mad at him. No, I really don't.
For sure.
I really don't. Yeah. I think that Lane Kiffin was put in a terrible situation. I think Ole Miss was put in a terrible situation. I think they could do something with the calendar. I think they can make this better. I think they can make this better for hiring and coaches moving around if they just adjust the schedule a little bit more. And they're not willing to do that because of money. The money's too great, and that's the problem. I mean, that you look at these athletic directors are on the hook. They need to have a but Alabama spends well over $100 million a year on their football program. You know, think about that. And where's that money coming from? It's coming from TV revenue and stuff. So they're not going to sit there and start the schedule early and do this and do that to try and, you know, it's broken. A lot of people said it's broken. It's absolutely broken. But man, you need to figure out the way the rules are. I feel terrible for the kids at Ole Miss that they don't have their coach there. But I'm happy as all get out. He's my coach now.
Do you think he has any regret? Like maybe Ole Miss is I could have won a championship in?
You know what? He has a better shot at winning a championship. We'll see if Ole Miss wins a championship. But it's proven that you can win a national championship at LSU. It's happened under three different coaches there.
Yeah.
You know, we are willing to spend the money in order to we spent $30 million last year on a 7-win team. And you know what? We're going to pony up probably $40 or $45 million again this year. For a team that hopefully will win more games than 7, but yeah, I mean there are some programs that just can't sustain that, and I think Mississippi is one of them.
I kind of hope they win. Just the drama of it, the storyline of it would be incredible. And then if he never wins a championship, like always looking back on that. For the record, I don't know if the Ole Miss team would have played with that much passion and be galvanized. Like, I think this move gave them something to prove and something to tie them together.
Yeah, there's something to that. And obviously difficult to quantify. But yes, it would be talked about forever. It would be a punchline if Ole Miss wins it all and then he's unable to do it at LSU, even though I think he will have... I mean, he's got a phenomenal opportunity to do it at LSU, but just punting on an opportunity
Ole
right
Miss
now.
Ole Miss caught a break in the first round playing Tulane.
No question.
You know, and Georgia is clearly not the Georgia team it was in the past, but I'm not going to discount Ole Miss. This will be a real test for them to have to play Miami.
Yeah.
Miami is a different cat. And Mario Cristobal, what they've done – that pass rush, you have to get after that quarterback at Mississippi.
That's, Chambliss that, is nasty.
He is good at avoiding. He's good at moving around. He will make some crazy throws too. But you know that's the one thing that Ole Miss, you know, will have to deal with is a physical running game, and that's what Miami's going to do. They are going to test Mississippi to see if they, in fact, can stop the run. If they can't stop the run, Ole Miss will lose this game.
Yeah, that's the biggest Miami advantage, it feels like, going into the game right now, is the fact that Ole Miss run defense has not been very good. But I did just want to close it down here with three of my favorite subjects from 2025.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Mike Leach and the story that surfaced this past year. Where he had to be talked down from lining up a little person in the backfield and then throwing them over the line of scrimmage in short yardage situations. That's totally Mike Leach, and I believe that 100% that that's true. He was trying to do that. The NHL enforcer, Nick
might be able
Tarnaski,
to do it with some of these smaller corners. You know, there might be a workaround around that. I mean, if you had Kevontae Turpin on your team, that might work, coach.
Yeah, no question. I think this will be up for G-Bag of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. But and so we'll get to the sound of it at a later date. But the NHL enforcer, Nick Tarnaski, with the viral golf fight with that one guy when he was just clubbing him.
Yeah.
Bang. And he was
a hockey guy.
He was doing the Mike Breen bangs as he was punching him in the face. All-time video, all-time sound. Cannot wait for that G-Bag of the Year. I would have to imagine we're gonna get that knocked out here somewhat soon.
I'm thinking this Friday. What you thinking? Friday coming up?
Sounds great.
I gotta look at the schedule. Make sure. Yeah.
Love that, dude.
Make sure the schedule's good. But yes, I'm thinking.
I think we'll all be here, right? Everybody's here.
Yeah. We'll be here. Friday. Yeah. Not gonna miss that for the world.
Yep.
And then also the 100 men versus the gorilla.
Oh yes,
that was a great.
What a sensation that was.
Great conversation.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
It's a Friday news dump here for you in our first full broadcast here of 2026. Thanks for making us part of your day, and into the evening we go with the Fan After Dark coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Next, you're on The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105 through The Fan. It's good to be back in the saddle here, having fun. And it's time to hand off this broadcast baton to Fred and Blake. The Fan After Dark coming up 7 to 11. Gentlemen, holidays. It's great to see you.
Great.
How are they?
You.
Everything good?
It's great to be seen.
Yeah.
Elated, excited, and eventful.
My first 2 days, I crushed so many sugar cookies and cinnamon rolls.
Did you really?
That I had my worst constipation since training camp 2023. Remember that?
I'll never
I couldn't
forget
even
it.
Fart.
Yeah.
I'll this never was worse because I could fart. But they were the worst farts ever.
Oh,
like
no.
Like if somebody had taken a dozen rotten eggs and just dropped them on the floor, that's how bad it was. I mean, it was like 20 degrees outside, but I was constantly having to open our bedroom window. Finally got relief upon returning. So I had to go through that entire flight experience.
But, oh, that's on the plane.
Yeah, after Christmas dinner, I just doubled down on fruits and vegetables for about 3 or 4 days, bro.
Okay.
It took forever. Double fiber thins. Salads, oranges, bananas, apples. That's what it took. So I think I need to go see a doctor.
You were on the airplane just freaking letting it fly?
I was holding it.
Yeah,
I was holding
had
it.
To
that, which that, creates a whole nother. Which,
right, right.
As you probably remember from your single dating years.
Big picture.
Holding
yeah,
something like that for five,
good.
6 hours.
Mm.
It was pretty bad, but I've recovered from that.
So you couldn't poo at your folks' house?
I couldn't go for like three
really?
Or 4 days, dude.
I would think that would be one of the like home away from homes. Like, you know, I'm guessing, is that the same house you grew up in?
No. No.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I could. I would have no problem doing it. It's
right.
Not like
I mean,
one of those,
got like a little bathroom up upstairs.
Everything's
like that.
Yeah. Everything's
you're
nice
good,
and private.
Off in your own little world.
But I just physically could not.
Wow.
That's brutal.
You never encountered that,
dude. There's one thing your boy can do.
That's impressive.
There's one thing your boy can do. Hit the fan. You know what I'm saying? There's a bathroom upstairs.
A lot
I mean,
of match.
I prefer home field advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've left a woman's house to go home and handle my biz
for
okay?
sure.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But. Yeah, no, I'm blessed in that sense.
And you have a balanced diet?
I don't know.
See,
don't
for
know
me, I think
I
it was
had,
too much carbs.
I knocked out 2 Whopper Juniors. I mean, look, now that I've found the Burger King down the street, we're kind of back in the mix again, okay? We're kind of back in the mix again. So, rousing start to 2026. I'm geeked.
You don't want
to
do the fast food with me 2 times
what
a week?
What are we
week?
Doing?
Two
what
times
doing?
A week maximum.
You know, I mean, I don't hate that idea.
What do you guys usually? Fast food?
It was bad. I wasn't buying groceries for a little bit. Now I buy groceries, so I can actually do this.
That's what I did the first 6 months of college. Yeah. Living by myself, I'm like, I don't know how to cook anything. So
I mean,
I'm just crazy.
I know how to cook, but if I got a Mickey D's within walking distance. Yeah.
Well, we can't do that, but we can't do that anymore. So I'm saying 2 times. You want to take on the challenge
I'll
with
do
me?
Three. I'll do three.
Okay.
I'll do three.
Two during
that's
the week, two during the week, 1 weekend.
Maybe. Just allot me three. Just give me a three-day allotment, because I do the same thing now. I found my little sweet spot. You can get 2 Whopper Juniors with cheese.
You shouldn't be learning.
For $5.
You shouldn't be learning
that's pretty
combos.
Good.
That's not good.
That's pretty
I mean,
good.
It's, if I want another one, 7. 3 for 7.
Yeah,
two
I'd be
for
going,
five, three
I'd be,
for seven.
I'd go three for seven
I might, because I'm still hungry.
Yeah, no question.
I'm
yeah,
still hungry.
Because
of
the junior.
So.
It's like a freaking.
Seriously.
It's like a 3-inch.
I realized I had to stop when me and Fred went to Wendy's after the show one day, and they said, "What's up, Blake?" As I pulled up,
she knew. Him. He tried to pretend like he didn't, but then she's like, "Oh, he's a regular. He's a regular
at Wendy's."
I gotta stop.
What do you guys have planned for tonight's show?
Glad you asked. Let's see. I mean, first show for both of us. Well, actually, no. First Fan After Dark in 2026. I was able to do a little radio with my boy Alec Medford yesterday. How about those college football games yesterday? We
Incredible.
Got at least one really, really good game. The other two were anywho. We'll talk about that. Jerry, anxious to hear what he had to say about whether guys on this football team love football.
Mm. Yeah.
Can't wait to hear that. I appreciate you guys. Love me up. Look, and then I read something today. Jim Schwartz is about to be out in Cleveland. Or it's kind of, hey, if Jerry Jones doesn't go hire Jim Schwartz, something's wrong. I'm telling you.
And you get a cut if that happens?
No. Look, I'm all for, look, if it makes the Dallas Cowboys better and it makes our jobs a lot more fun, so we're not sitting here talking about what a turd Matt Eberflus is week after week. I mean, I'm here for it. And of course, fair or foul, and we got our boy Trevor. He's gonna break us off with a little something called Trevor's Good News.
Oh, looking for that.
Because we're trying to get Trevor laid in 2026.
Okay? How long's it been?
Look, we don't want to delve. What's in the past is in the past. Okay, we're focused on 2026.
Under 5 years.
I'm gonna say under
2.5.
He's stunned over there.
He is.
In the Pim Cup.
I mean, that could be
a
push. Could be a push.
All right.
I'll let you bet your money, not mine.
Great to see you, boys. Have a great night. Fan After Dark coming up next. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pim Cup brought us in chief. We'll be back on Monday. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till Monday at 2, you're going home with the nation. At ease.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.